we present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Greetings and welcome to a further edition of My Music with its usual contestants, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton versus John Amis and Frank Muir. Right, all the musical items in this first round are about life, gentlemen, life. Ian, what sort of a life is this?
Dog's life, obviously.
No.
I think this is going to be one of those which we divide down the middle insofar that you tell me part of it and I'll try and tell you the other part.
Well, put life into German first, if you can.
Leben.
Leben. So it's ein somebody Leben, isn't it? A somebody's Leben.
You have told me this is a German composer.
Yes. Aha. Uh-huh.
Strauss.
Yes. Which Strauss?
Not Johann.
No.
Richard.
No, that's
Richard
right.
Strauss.
Yes, one of my heroes.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh yes.
Helden. Heroes.
Life.
You've got it, Ian. You've got it without any help at all.
Very good. With a good deal of assistance.
Got us off to a flying start. Right, one mark to you.
I'd say we just about got off the ground.
One out of one. Ein Heldenleben, the hero's life, Richard Strauss. Dennis Norton, your turn. According to Shakespeare, whose life is this?
Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where is it gone? Gone with the wine. My married life I hate to wreck, but raising an heir could never compare with raising a bit of heck. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that laid I?
Dennis.
It wasn't Alfred Drake, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Much life of
body. Lou Monte singing, actually. Yeah.
Well,
who's life?
That's from Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes.
Taming of the Shrew,
yes.
Or Petruchio.
Aha. Petruchio was what I wanted. Yes.
Or Fred Graham, I think the character was called in Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes, well, I did say, according to Shakespeare, so Petruchio is, of course, right for one mark. Good. John Amis, your turn. Whose life is this?
Is that all?
That's all. No. Would you like a little bit, a rather more melodious bit out of the middle?
Yes.
You shall have it. Here it is. Is that a help?
Not much.
No. I'll give you a name. Ivan Susanin.
Ah,
I did help here.
Yes, I think it's that old stinker Glinker.
Yes. Whose life then?
The Tsar.
Well, a life for the Tsar, yes.
Right.
The piece called A Life for the Tsar. That's from the overture by, as you said, that old stinker Glinker. Yes, Ivan Susanin, who gave his life for the Tsar in the 17th century. Right, mark to you. Frank, again, whose life?
Thank you.
fact that we're all swaying about is a good sign, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm informed by my colleague that there's a Strauss waltz called The Artist's Life.
Yes. Could you put him into German, too, somebody's label?
Die Artiste Leben, the Gefunken...
Yes, that's right. Anyway, Artist's Life, Johann Strauss, the second, and Frank gets his mark. Everybody's got their marks so far. Good. On to the next round. Ian, I'm in search of somebody's name here. He was principal tenor at 16 Covent Garden International Seasons, quite a record, and he sang in 29 successive promenade concert seasons. Any idea who he was?
I thought for one moment you were going to say he was a principal tenor at Covent Garden at 16.
No. 16 Covent Garden seasons, 29 successive prom seasons.
I imagine that he therefore must have been British.
Ah, yes, you choose your words carefully. Born in Monmouthshire, as he was, in 1891, he would naturally not be English.
No, that would make him Welsh.
While you're thinking, I can mention that he also took part in the first performance of Schoenberg's Gudelieder.
I have a feeling this must be Parry Jones.
Parry Jones it is, and there's your mark. Yes, Parry Jones, with that wonderful musical record there. Dennis Norton, in a description of a Broadway show, I read that even the Faustian overtones of the story were treated in a breezy manner, with Ray Walston playing the devil and Gwen Verdon in her first starring role as his most efficient temptress. What was the show called?
It was called Damn Yankees. It was written by the same people who wrote Pajama Game. Jerry Adler and Ross.
Adler, yeah. And Ross, yes, 1955, that's right, Damn Yankees, and from Damn Yankees came Whatever Lola Wants, and You Gotta Have
Gotta
Heart.
Gotta Have Heart, that's yeah. Right.
Yeah, mark to you. John, Queen Victoria, Prince Albert, the Duke of Wellington, and Louis Napoleon all attended the first performance, which was conducted by Verdi, with Jenny Lind in the leading role. Can you name the opera?
Was it a first performance in this... first performance of
yes,
the work.
Yes.
Then Verdi's only opera to be done here for the first time was written for London, was I Masnadieri.
I Masnadieri, the Robbers, yes. That was at Her Majesty's Theatre in 1860. Good for you. Right. Frank Muir. The scene is laid in an industrial advertising exhibition in a large capitalist city. The characters include the exhibition director, sundry fascists and spies, a Negro boxer, two women communists, and a Soviet football team. What work is that?
It sounds like the prospect pleases and only Kurt is vile. Is it Kurt? Is it?
No, it's not Kurt Vile. No, no.
Ah.
No.
Ah, well, that's sort of diminished my... locker of shots.
Don't forget a Soviet football team takes part. And...
The Dynamos.
Well, I don't
know. Do you
know
an opera with Dynamos?
Is it an opera or a musical comedy?
It's neither. It's a ballet. I'm going to have
Hamid.
To tell you this, I think.
Yes, I'm thinking yes. We'll have to.
It's by Shostakovich.
No, really?
It's the Age of Gold. The ballet Age of Gold, from which comes the Age of Gold polka. Well, I can't give you a mark for that, which means that at the present stage of the game, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden are leading by one mark. Instruments of the orchestra. Ian, which instrument, please, is this? I think he was glad that was over. Ian, which instrument?
Drawing a bow at a venture, I would say the clarinet.
You'd be right, for half a mark. And because that was so easy for your other half mark, who was the player?
Well, I'm only on what might be described as terms of intimacy with one clarinet player, Jack Brymer.
I wouldn't have asked you if it had been anyone else, would I? The other half mark, total one. It was indeed Jack Brymer playing, yes. Dennis, your turn. Again, instruments of the orchestra. What is this?
Is that
Is that Spike Jones' orchestra?
No.
It sounds like he's playing it with one nostril. Whatever. You want which nostril for your second mark?
It's a very, very distinguished performer named Terence McDonough demonstrating something or other to do with his instrument, actually. Ian, I think, may help you over that.
Oh, Ian says oboe.
Yes, that's right.
Well, is that
a mark to you. It's Terence McDonough demonstrating the oboe reeds being blown without the instrument attached.
Ah. It's easier to carry around that way, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Going through customs.
The other thing that they can do with that, they can give a very realistic imitation of a pheasant.
Anyway, a mark to Dennis.
Useless information there, if ever there was any.
Mark to Dennis for that. John Amos, turning to the strings. Which two words, John, did the composer write immediately above this passage? Two words.
Classi guitarra.
No, that would be an ingenious, like the guitar. No, it's a specific violin-type instruction. Col legno. Col legno is right, to be played with the back of the bow. You turn the horsehair away from the violin and play with the wooden back of the bow, and it commits murder on the bow.
What a silly idea.
They are on point. Well, why not turn the violin over and play the
You think that's funny, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
But it's been done.
Yes. Signor Bruschino, isn't it?
No. I mean, in avant-garde works. I mean, all the things that people are trying not to do when they're children or...
But when I say Signor Bruschino, what do I mean, John?
Oh, they just tap called legno.
Yes.
Legno, literally, with the wood.
Yes, they tap the wood, though, with the wood, don't they, in Signor Bruschino, the overture by Rossini. You'll know this, Ian. You've performed in Signor Bruschino.
No, I haven't, but you're quite right.
He'd be making up during the overture, anyway.
But, John was quite right, because, as Dennis knows, everything funny has been done.
Yes. I mean, we started those Hofnung concerts poking fun at modern music, and now it's all been done. Surely,
Frank, you know as well as Dennis, don't you, that everything funny has been done, or is it only Dennis that knows? Frank, your turn. What instrument, please, is this?
It's a deep one.
Undeniably true.
And it's it uses air.
Yes.
And not the titillation of strings. I would have thought it's one of those things which is like an anti-tank bazooka stood on end.
You're nearly there, yes. Yes, you're right, absolutely. Whatever it is, it's a double one, isn't it, obviously?
Yes, it's mentioned in a song lyric, isn't it? Let it bassoon.
Oh, that's not it. Yes. Or if you sing the song twice, let it double bassoon. Yes, that's right.
Whatever it is double or treble.
Well, double or contra bassoon. Yes, half a mark to you. Kenneth Cooper was playing it. John, I wonder if you can possibly guess, for the other half mark, what this is the double bassoon part for. Listen. If you can. No.
I think it's The Frogs by Aristophanes.
I'm sorry to tell you it isn't. I think I'll have to play you the full orchestral piece, including that. Here it is. Very difficult. We'll give you the half mark if you can identify it now. I'll give you a clue.
Ah, yes.
All right. There's a clue.
It's Brahms' First Symphony.
Yes, it is from Brahms' First Symphony. There, we'll give you the half mark, I think. And on to the next round.
The only thing I know about Brahms' First Symphony is that Tchaikovsky went to hear it and noted in his journal... talentless bastard.
Yes. Actual words.
Yeah. Dear. We turn now to one of the great 20th century operas. Ian, back to you. Who is this, in short, who's the singer?
Super.
Lovely singing, yeah, of a lovely piece of music, yes.
And it's quite, the voice is quite unmistakable. Very early on, there's just a something that is a hallmark of a lady called Joan Sutherland.
Yes, Joan Sutherland, that's right, her Turandot. I like to pronounce the final T and the pronunciation department of the BBC permit me to, so Turandot in Puccini's opera. Mark to you for Joan Sutherland. Dennis, in Act 3 of Turandot, the hero, played here by Luciano Pavarotti, sings the famous Nessun Dorma. Listen, and then, if you will, tell me why the man should be calling out, "None shall sleep, let no man sleep." Sleep. Why, Dennis, does he want to say that?
Well, what I believe is called solipsism. In other words, why I would have said it in any circumstances, "None shall sleep, let no man sleep," is if you yourself are unable to sleep. Have you ever done, you've woken up in the middle of the night, and you can't get off, and all you want to do is stand outside the pavement and say to the whole world, "Wake up! Everybody wake up, because I'm awake." So that would be my explanation of the phrase, "None shall sleep, let no man sleep."
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens in the opera.
I thought so.
Or nearly. I think a mark to you. The heroine, in fact, has commanded that no one shall sleep until the name of the unknown prince has been discovered. But as always, I prefer your answer to that in the opera. John Amis, another earlier great soloist recorded in Questa Regia, which we heard just now. It's a performance that always makes my spine tingle, this one.
I think it's Eva Turner.
Yes, Dame Eva Turner. Recording date 1928.
I remember that when she sang that after the war at a concert at the Albert Hall, I happened to have lunch with some of the boys in the band in the LPO and the horn players, and they said, "Look, we're all playing that tune with Eva. Let's drown her this afternoon, shall we?" And so there they were. I think it's six horns. And they all blew as hard as they could. You couldn't hear them.
Not with Eva.
And
no.
Eva had a marvellous thing. She sometimes used to sing that aria. She sang one bit, a little bit out of the left side of her mouth, then a little bit out of the right side of the mouth, and then
vomph! Yeah. Yes. Frank, this is how Turandot ends. Frank, just...
What's your problem?
Well, my problem is this, Frank. Just before then, Toscanini, when conducting Turandot, stopped, turned round and addressed the audience. What did he say?
If you don't want to stop a coughing, I jack it in. As I go, I have left the last page.
It in,
I left the last page of the score on the bus. My friend and colleague, John, has been brimming with information about this.
Yes.
Apparently, it wasn't finished.
No, I thought he guessed what this question was going to be. It was
finished by a gentleman called Alfino.
What were the actual words, John?
The words... Can I hand over to you?
At this point, the master laid down his pen.
Yes. Marvellous thing to say. Then he turned back and they finished the opera. Yes. Great moment. Mark to Frank, of course, needless to say.
Well deserved.
According to our very own tradition in this show, the last round features our contestants in slightly different capacity and a different order. They sing. Dennis first, then, thank goodness, John. Thirdly, Frank, and finally we leave you with a drop of the real stuff from Ian. So, Dennis, it's
Dennis
you.
Dennis first, because I like sort of eat your carrots first.
Later you get your chocolate. Yes.
This round is known as Let's All Be Nasty to Dennis.
But I have to tell you all something. All the songs this week in this final round have something to do with water. So, Dennis, can you dredge up from your memory a couple of marks worth of Upper Lazy River? I'll give you a couple of chords to start with.
What that's
it's worth. I don't think it's worth much.
No, I don't
I'll
think
it's
enough.
Up.
He was down. Up a lazy river by the old mill run. Up a lazy river in the noonday sun. Lingering in the shade of a kind old tree. Steve, does this make your spine tingle?
More like a crawl, or a creep.
Or your stomach, too.
Yes, that's right. Up a lazy river by the... You remembered the words, Dennis,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes.
Two marks to you out of two. John, we're still concerned with water songs, remember? How about a reminder from you of the flung spray and the blown spume? I think your key would be A minor. Can you manage it? Here we go.
Yeah. I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by, and the wheel's kick and the wind's song and the white sail shaking and a grey mist on the sea's face. And a great on breaking.
Frank.
I must go down to the BBC again.
Frank, still to do with water, remember, though this
water
time...
Water,
no, 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 no. No, sir. No, sir, this is water carried in a bucket by George Formby.
The blushing bride, she looked divine. The bike and me was doing fine. I'd rather have his job than mine when I'm cleaning windows. Taboy.
Just short and bitter, yeah. Two marks to you, of course, and that leaves Ian. A couple of marks for you, McWallace. If you can recall the Skyboat song, your key, I think, G.
Speed, bonny board, like a bird on the wing, on with the sailor's cry. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky. Loud the winds howl, loud the waves roar, thunder. and claps rend the air. Baffled our foes, stand on the shore, follow they will not dare. Speed, bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, on with the sailor's cry. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky.
Thank you, Ian. Unrehearsed, which is why I played that duff chord in the middle. Never mind.
Never noticed it.
Thank you. There ends this edition of My Music, a victory by one mark for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.